Now, consistently in the scriptures, we are warned that wealth is an unstable, unreliable commodity. It is totally untrustworthy. In Proverbs chapter 11, and starting in verse 28, Proverbs 11 and in verse 28, it says, He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. When you put your trust in wealth, it will never be reliable. It will never, it always will end up disappointing you. Making wealth your goal is foolish. In Proverbs 23, starting with verse 4. Proverbs 23, starting with verse 4. It says, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eye on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. And so what we find in the New Testament, Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Wealth is a dangerous commodity. It distracts us from doing what is right. It offers us what we think are the things that we desire, and it turns out to be not really what we want. And ironically, the desire for wealth, the greed that comes with it, eventually leads you to poverty. Take a look at Proverbs 28 and in verse 22. Proverbs 28 and in verse 22, it says, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. I've seen it over and over again. People who've tried for these get-rich-quick schemes, they almost always fail. And they always end up with less money at the end than they started with at the beginning, often significantly less. Now, the reason for it is that we cannot predict what the future is going to hold. We don't know even what tomorrow will bring. We can guess what we would like would happen, but we cannot reliably tell what tomorrow will bring. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You can plot, you can plan, you may think it's going to be great, you may think it's going to be miserable. But you know what? You have no idea what tomorrow may be like. And yet we make commitments. We make plans. My apologies, I have to sit down because I injured my back again this afternoon or overdid it. So we make plans about tomorrow. We assume that we will know things like, I assume I'm still going to have a job tomorrow. But we might experience a salary reduction. We might experience a layoff. There might be a termination of employment. You know, too often we live life on the edge because we plan to continue things as if nothing changes. Unexpected expenses just catch us totally off guard because we're not prepared for them. You own a house, suddenly the furnace goes out. That car suddenly gets a flat tire. Oops, I wasn't expecting that. The little expense, and it throws your whole situation off. You know, many people figure they can handle the unexpected by borrowing. And while borrowing it itself is not wrong, we know it's not wise in most cases. We read a number of passages this morning that basically says that borrowing is not a great way to handle money. And the reason for it, and one reason for it, is in Proverbs 22 and in verse 7. Proverbs 22 and in verse 7. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. We don't think about that. You know, we don't have slavery today. So we don't think about it in those terms. But when you borrow from somebody, you limit your options. You know, that money that you could have used elsewhere now has to go pay off the loan. And suddenly the choices that you have are now limited based on what you committed yourself to. And one of the things that comes up sometimes is people like to think, well, I like to be generous to others, but I just don't have enough money. A lot of times that comes out about because of poor planning. You borrowed money, which leaves you no extra money. No, you basically you pay other people for that privilege. Now think about it. Is it the needy that needs a loan from you? They are able to give you a loan? No, it's the rich to do. So who are you paying with your interest rates? You're paying the rich. It goes to the wealthy. But there's a point that is made again in Proverbs 22, and this time verse 16, it says, he who oppresses the poor makes more for himself, or who gives to the rich will only come to poverty. When you give your money to the rich, all you do is give it away. You're not benefiting anybody. You're not benefiting yourself either. Now, sometimes you should sit down and look at the raw numbers sometimes. So when you do borrowing, they always give you, here's your payments or whatever. Sit down and say, okay, I'm borrowing this, I'm going to buy this TV set. It's going to cost me $500. Now, figure out how much you're actually going to pay by the time you get it paid off the credit card. I guarantee you're not paying $500. You start going those interest rates, and you're probably looking at $1,500 at a minimum. But over the time that you pay it back, we don't think about it in those terms. There's an extra $1,000 I could have done something else with. There's a lesson that's given in the scriptures, and we mentioned it several times in the Bible class. And we're going to mention it again tonight. It's in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Oops. I didn't get that verse down there. But Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 6. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Which, having no chief, ruler, or officer, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? And when will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need will like an armed man. The ant survives because without any obligation to other people, it begins preparing for the future. That's how it survives. It's not owed anything by anybody. It just works. You see, without preparation, debt will eventually catch you when you least expect it. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. I can't predict the future. I don't know precisely what's going to happen tomorrow. But I've told a lot of people this, and various people I've talked to, I can tell you there are going to be good times and there are going to be bad times. Sounds like one of those psychics. Get it vague enough and we'll catch everything. But think about it. If I know there are the possibility of bad times coming, right? Because that's the way that life goes. Well, if I was smart, then I would put aside a portion during the good times to carry me over the bad times. Now, if this is a good time right now, shouldn't you be making preparations for the eventual bad times that usually come? You know, isn't that what Joseph did with Pharaoh? Take a look at Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41, we're going to start with verse 25. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told Pharaoh that he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and the ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven thin ears, scorched by the east wind, will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming to all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance that will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land, so the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now let Pharaoh look for a wise man, discerning and wise, and let him set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food in those good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. And then Joseph then became ruler. And I won't go ahead and read the rest of that. And he was set up above it. But notice what Joseph did. The typical tax in those days was about 10%. Joseph proposed a 20% tax on the produce. Twice what's normal. But what he's counting on is the fact that the years were going to be abundant years. They're going to be bringing so much more that people would just not notice so much that there was such a high tax. And they would be able to store up enough in those 7 years to carry them over the 7 years of famine that was coming up. In fact, it worked so well, they had trouble storing how much they gathered during the 7 years. And they did last through the famine. They were even able to supply food for the nations around them. You see, the wise saves. It's the fool who then uses up every bit of money he has. Take a look at Proverbs 21 again, and verse 20. Proverbs 21 and in verse 20. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. The foolish uses up, I got $20 in my pocket, I got to spend it. The wise person says, I'm going to save a little bit of that aside for a late rainy day. Bound to happen. See, that's the biggest problem we have, this hole in our pocket, that we have to spend everything that we make. It's hard to think about the hard times when things are going well. You know, when the sun is shining, there's that old song about mañana. And when the sun is shining, there's a hole in the roof, well, it's not raining. There's more pressing matters. We'll take care of that tomorrow. Of course, when tomorrow's raining, then it's raining and you can't fix the roof at that time. So it always becomes a problem. What God is telling us is if we're smart, we'll live on less than what we earn. And put a portion of that aside. So why aren't more people then making preparations? Why aren't they putting some aside? Well, unfortunately, a lot of us are lazy when it really comes down to it. Take a look at Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. We don't put advanced preparation in. We don't think about it. We don't plan for the fact that life is uncertain. Now, some of us, you look at your income and you say, I don't make enough to save anything. Well, that was the point about the ant. The ants are not strong, but they prepare. They don't make a whole lot, but because they put a little bit aside each time, eventually accumulates. We read this morning, but Proverbs 30 and verse 25, it says, the ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. They put a little bit aside. It's not much. Each ant doesn't carry all that much. But over time, that it accumulates. See, the only counter to uncertainty is to plan for uncertainty. You got to actually put in forethought that life is going to be uncertain. And in such a life, impulsive decisions do not work. They cannot work. In Proverbs 21 and verse 5, Proverbs 21 and in verse 5, the plans of the diligent surely lead to an advantage, but everyone who's hasty comes surely to poverty. The diligent plans. You know what? I have some money set aside because I know something in my house is going to break. Can't tell you what's going to break next, but I'm planning on the fact that something in my house is going to break. That's a wise thing to do. When you try for things like get-rich-quick schemes, those are usually based on impulsive decisions. They always fail. Take a look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man will abound in blessing, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. See, when people tell you you can make more money than you can imagine, doing almost nothing, you know what the best answer is? Run out the door. Because they're telling you a bunch of lies. And they might really believe it themselves. But the whole world can't be rich. And don't speculate. Because again, the future is uncertain. Is the price of gold going up or down? I have no idea. To invest in something on the chance that prices might go up or down is a sure way to go to the poorhouse. And probably one of the worst problems that we have in the nation right now is gambling. Gambling is a waste of money. If you look at the odds of some of these lotteries that we have floating around here and people are pouring all these dollars into it, you know, you have a 5 times greater chance of getting struck by lightning than winning most lotteries. And yet people look at it and say, hey, I'm going to win and I'm going to get this $1 million. No. Somebody might win, yes. But the chances of it happening to you, not likely. Actually, if you look at the investment rate, most gambling outfits run at about 50 to 80% negative. In other words, for every dollar I put in, I might get 80 cents back or 20 cents back. Maybe 50 cents back for every dollar I put in. Now think about it. We got this great new bank over here. You can put your money in it and you get less back. Yet people pour money into gambling casinos and lottery tickets. And the odds are set such that you will get less back. You know why they do it? Because every once in a while they get some money back. But it's never as much as they put in. When discussing becoming a disciple, the Lord urged people to use common sense and to consider what you're obligating yourself to. Yet I want you to think about the proof, the evidence that everyone should know. Take a look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and starting with verse 28. Luke 14, starting with verse 28. It says, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" We had a great example over in the neighborhood next to us. There was like a good 5-year, 6-year period. There was a foundation sitting there. Never was able to finish it out, so they didn't have enough money to finish it. Got enough to get the foundation up, and that was it. Somebody finally bought it 5 years later and finished it off. But think about it. Everyone should understand that before you take on a project, you plan out the possibilities. I used to do some project management when I was working for IBM. You sat down and you covered, okay, what happens if this case happens? What happens if that case happens? What's my contingency plans? And you didn't really start the project until you got most of you never cover all the bases, but you try to cover a lot of them. But you know what? We live in a society where common sense is not common. And people try to do things on impulse. And they don't think about the possibilities. They don't think about planning for how to complete what they start. But a wise man plans. His actions are based on knowing where he's at the time. Take a look at Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Proverbs 13, verse 16. "Every prudent man acts with knowledge. The fool displays folly." In other words, when I'm starting out with something, I need to become maybe not a total expert on it, but I need to know what I'm doing. If I want to buy a car, I better research what cars are good cars. Otherwise, I'm going to just pick the shiniest one. And it may not run very well. If I'm going to buy a house, I need to research what goes into making a good house. What makes it a good investment. We start with knowing what we're doing. Now, none of us are experts in everything. So you get advice in Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Proverbs 20 verse 18 is to prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. You're not an expert in something? Find somebody. Back when I was moving more often, there was a period of time I moved 8 times in 10 years. Every time I bought a house, I went and got an appraiser. Had the house inspected. Tell me where all the flaws are. Every real estate agent goes, "No, are you going to cancel the deal?" No. This is my honey-to-do list. This tells me how much investment I have to make into it to get this house in good shape. If it was more than I could afford, then I was going to cancel the deal, but otherwise, hey, I got somebody who tells an expert who told me, "Oh, by the way, that plug over on the, in that one hall over there is kind of bad." Well, I'd like to know that before there's a fire in the house. Now you find the experts to do that. It's so easy though to deceive ourselves. Take a look at Proverbs 12 and verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." You get in trouble when you think you know it all. It's amazing how many people overlook the counsel of their own wives or husbands, their own spouse. You know, one of the reasons why you get married is so that you have somebody else who looks at it from another point of view. Get advice from good sources. You know, if you want investment advice, you don't ask the hobo on the street who's panhandling. You go find somebody who's doing pretty well and ask them about the advice. in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And the more advice you get, the better. And even if you get conflicting advice, at least you know the range of options. Take a look at Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they will succeed. And the reason for that is everybody doesn't think of everything. So you get a range of answers. Somebody might think of something and hold, nobody else thought of it. Ooh, that might be important. Have that available to you. So not only should you act with knowledge, planning what might happen, but while you're executing it, you need to also look at it and say, I need to monitor it. I need to watch it. Take a look at Proverbs 27. This is probably the one that I fall down most of. I hate bookworms. I know it's necessary, but I really, really despise doing it. But in Proverbs 27, verse 23, it says, know well the condition of your flocks, and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure for all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, the goats will be bring the price of a field, and there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household and the sustenance of your maidens. He's basically saying things don't stay the same. Something that works right now might not work next year. You got to keep on top of it. You got to watch it. Nothing disappears faster than something that's not watched. That means balancing your checkbook. It means keeping an eye on that balance. It means keeping an eye on your investments. Invest in a house, you got to keep an eye on it because it's going to fall apart. I heard so many times, well, we had plenty in the county the other day. I don't know what happened to it. Perhaps you should find out. You might have a problem. Especially these days with fraud going on. But more often than not, it's not the fraud that's going on. It's that, oh, I forgot I've spent this. And, oh, I forgot I've spent that. You can't take corrective action when you're not watching where you're going. It's like driving down the street. Oops, I didn't see that stop sign there. I crashed right into it. Well, it would help if you keep your eyes up on the street, wouldn't it? When you see evil coming, you do something to avoid it. In Proverbs 27, in verse 12, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceeds and pays the penalty. You know, we often talk about this in moral senses, and that's true, but it's also true in financial senses, 12. You see problems coming up, you do something about it. You say, it's really dumb to think that if I don't pay attention to it, it won't hurt me. Sometimes we act with blinders. I've seen so many people saying, well, I went down this path. Yeah, it didn't work well. But if I do it again, it will come out better. No, most of the time it comes out the same way. So we keep going down a path, even when there's plenty of warning signs that it's the wrong way. So learn from your mistakes. Be humble enough to change when you know you're wrong. Take a look at Proverbs 13 again, this time with verse 18. Proverbs 13, starting with verse 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. Fools look at something and say, I want this, this is what I want. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, because it's what they want, they hold on to it. Now, with all this, planning ahead, monitoring it, that means you need to put a plan together. I sometimes ask people, okay, when you're planning out, when you're starting out life, what should you do first? Shouldn't I flip my slide there first? What's the very first thing? The very first thing is you got to make sure you have enough income. It doesn't matter what expenses you have if you don't have enough money. In Proverbs 24 and in verse 27, it says, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. Starting out brand new on a farm, what do you do first? You plant the field. Because that's your income. Then you worry about the house, because you can build a house while you're waiting for the plants to grow. When you're starting out first, what do you need to look at first? I need to get a good job that has a decent pay. Then I can worry about where am I going to live, because that's going to determine where I'm going to live based on how much income I have. I can determine what I can afford. Sometimes I wish, as was mentioned, one of the brethren mentioned that, you know, wish the government would learn some of this. You know, how many people have you, times, I've done this my foolish path myself. How many of you get a raise and then you spend it before the money actually comes in? And in fact, many what they end up doing is spending more than they actually get because they forget little things like taxes. Oh, I'm getting $100 a month raise. I can spend that on, and I'm going to spend it and buy $100 worth of something. Oh, only $60 come in. I'm now $40 in the hole. You know what some people do also? They spend it before it comes in. They spend it again when it comes in. Oops, I just spent it twice. Now I'm really in the hole. But another thing also that we need when we're putting a plan together, not only do we first need to know what we're making, but we need to put God first. When we start talking about expenses, we need to think about God. God is the reason why we have the ability to have an income. Under the old law, there was a concept that was called the first fruits. It's in Exodus chapter 23. And in verse 19, you shall bring the first choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. When you had, under the old law, when you gave to God, you gave the first fruits, the very beginnings of the harvest. Why? Well, giving respect to God because you're putting Him first. In Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now that specific requirement's not in the New Testament. But there still remains the idea that God should always come first in our plans. Take a look at Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. It says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There lies the answer. We need to put God first. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm looking at how much my notes remain. I think this is a good place I'm going to take a pause and talk about it. But it's a good place to end is right now is to think about the fact that we need to put God first. In all our plans, not just the financial plans, but we're talking about all of our lives. So many times we make choices and get caught up in sins because we don't put God first. There's an opportunity this evening that if anyone wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ, to put God first in your life. And if you are a child of God, we'd like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. In either case, why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song of the selected.